we have basically set the stage now for a period of time beginning around 500 AD, 600 AD, somewhere in that time, going all the way up to around 1400, 1500 AD, what is often referred to among Protestant Christians particularly as the Dark Ages. What happened in the Dark Ages and why were they called Dark Ages? Anybody got some genius insights here? Why were those times called Dark Ages? And how much do we know about them? And are they called Dark Ages because we don't know about them? Dennis?
Well, wasn't the gospel, the Bible, suppressed by the church during
okay.
that period of time?
Okay, hold on. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Ariel.
I think there's a general tendency in human thinking to try and deprecate the past and to make us feel better because, you know, we're progressing, we know much more than we did in the past and so on. I think to a certain extent the Dark Ages satisfies that desire for feeling superior.
Well, and another way of putting that is, without even considering the time gaps, is we're down on what we're not up on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if we don't know about it, well, they must be ignorant and, you know, they're off to the ends of the world or whatever it is. Well, if you look here, and this handout is just in development stages, so bear with me. There are probably some misspellings and other things in here, but I think we can make our way through it. For more than 1,000 years, during what are sometimes called the Dark Ages, the Bible was largely confined to monasteries and nunneries. Okay, that's the first point, okay? Where was the Bible during all this time? Well, it was there, but it just wasn't generally available to the population. The secular world was largely illiterate, and society was very fragile. Most of life consisted in merely surviving. Okay, so try to imagine that in your life, in your mind. People spent virtually their entire days and did everything they could just to sort of make enough to keep themselves alive. And, you know, we'll talk here more about some unusual groups here. Beginning in the 4th century, individuals in the Eastern Mediterranean area took up an ascetic form of life where they isolated themselves from the ordinary human endeavors and devoted their lives entirely to studying the Bible and to prayer. Now, when we say ascetic, what do we mean? That's me. Say that again.
Punishing the body.
Punishing the body? Okay, well, that's part of it at least. Anybody else want to define ascetic for me? These are people who said, okay, I want to make the whole focus of my life to be a Christianity. I want my religion to be the total focus of my life. I'm going to ignore everything else as far as possible, minimize it at least, and focus on the study of scripture and prayer and so forth. Two main areas of the Eastern Mediterranean focused on this type of Christianity, Syria and Egypt. Christian monks found Egypt attractive because in times of persecution, it was easy for them to escape from the Nile Valley into the obscure portions of the desert on either side. We've already talked a little bit about that. In Syria, outside of Antioch, Saint Simeon, should be Simeon. We've heard about him before, not Simon. Well, I'll worry about that here later, I guess. I'm not doing this right. Simeon. Saint Simeon Stylites started one order of monasticism by living most of his life on top of a pillar. Now, you've heard about this. Saint Simeon, I don't know where he got this brainstorm, but he went outside of... Remember, Antioch was the third largest city in the Mediterranean world at that time. But first was Rome, then there was Alexandria, and then there was Antioch here. This is Antioch of Syria, not Antioch of Pisidia. There's actually more than one Antioch. But he went outside the city, put up a pole about 10 feet high, made a platform on the top, and decided this is the way he could avoid sin, is by living on top of this platform. Well, people started gathering around, and when they would gather around, he would make his appeal to them and tell them how they need to separate themselves from the cares and worries of the world and so forth, and they needed to be like him. And they would give him offerings and bring him food and so forth like this, and he would preach from his pillar there. And as time went by, he made his pillar taller and taller. It looked more impressive. And pretty soon there were other people on pillars around him. So imagine driving out of Loma Linda or San Bernardino or Los Angeles for that matter, and here's a huge field and all these people are living on top of their individual poles, you know. That's what they did. So, and what does this tell us about them? Well, obviously their idea was, if you separate yourself from the evils of the world, you can become a saint. Monasticism, then, in the Eastern Mediterranean, please notice this is an important distinction. Monasticism in the Eastern Mediterranean was largely an individual matter, with each monk living almost the life of a hermit, denying themselves of virtually any luxuries, even married life, sex, or anything more than the basic necessities of food and shelter. Joanne.
Well, a couple comments, but they had to come down to go to the bathroom, don't you think?
No. Apparently they didn't. And how exactly they handled that, I'm not sure. You know, I don't have a descriptive definition or story about how they did that. But
is this like building the Tower of Babel? We're going to work our way to heaven, or I don't know.
Well, I mean, stop and think about this. You see, if you believe that the body and material things are evil, and it's only the soul, the inside part, that's sacred, okay, that's really able to go to heaven anyway, and you go out of town and you're busy with all your activities and you're barely getting by and you're trying to raise your garden and a million things, and here's this saint sitting nice, peacefully on top of his pillar. You see, he doesn't have any concerns about the cares of the body. He can't even if he wants to. See? So, you know.
People seem to like idols. So the people liked this person that seemed like an idol.
Yeah.
And these are followers of Jesus who mingled with the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John.
Well, I'm worried about the support group. Where did he recruit enough people to...
Well, you got to be charismatic, man.
Did he preach from up there?
Yeah, he preached from up there.
They're down on the ground.
Right.
And they're envying him. They want to be up there where he is.
Yeah, or at least to be like him. And pretty soon, that's what I said, pretty soon there were other people with pillars all around. And he started a whole order.
Was he rich when he started up there?
I don't know about that. I have no idea. But that was the story in That was the story in the Eastern Mediterranean. In the West, somewhat by contrast, John Cassian and Benedict of Nursia developed a form of monasticism which centered around a common communal form of life. It was known as cenobiotic. And that means community living or common living. So instead of one person living on a pillar or one person living somewhere down in Egypt, so if someone came along and wasn't friendly, you escaped out into the desert. In the West, they built large edifices, huge edifices, which came to be known as monasteries. For more than a millennium, these monastic centers were the most vibrant part of Christianity. Monasteries had their daily routine strictly regimented around prayer and work, which in Latin was called ora et labora, according to the rule written by Saint Benedict. So one of the early leaders of this whole thing, Saint Benedict, and you've all heard of the Benedictine order. In fact, our current Pope is a Benedictine, I believe. Isn't that correct? Quite sure. But... This original Benedict, he spelled everything out. And I mean, every detail. Not so much in terms of all the possible things you could do. He didn't care so much about that. His approach to Christianity was every hour of the day, there's something that has to be done. Okay, this is the time you're supposed to be praying. This is the time you're supposed to be worshiping. This is the time you're supposed to be eating. So he had it. And so that's the way the monastic life. And so he wrote a book called The Rules of Benedict. And the monasteries basically followed those rules, yes.
You said that these centers were the most vibrant part of Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the true Christianity?
It was the only Christianity there was in those days.
Because Sister White talked about that that was the devil's...
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But this was Christianity in those days. That was what there was. Now, some of you, I'm surprised someone hasn't waved their hand at me yet. Some of you are going to say, but what about the Waldenses? Well, these things were happening before we ever knew about the Waldenses. But the Waldenses were a small group hidden in the mountains, and there were probably others like them, like way down in Ethiopia. They weren't affected by this stuff. But as far as the main central part of Christianity, this was Christianity as the Western world knew it at that time.
But,
yeah.
But I don't see that as the people of God.
Well, we're gonna talk about people like you in a little bit. There are reasons. Protestants have a very negative attitude about monasteries, which is probably not justified. Catholics tend to have a very romantic view of monasteries, and that's probably not justified either. And we'll talk about the pros and cons of that in a moment. Joanne?
This just seems like the formalized Christianity of the day. And some obsessive compulsive people got a hold of Christianity and made their obsession and compulsion.
Well,
for some reason, they got the power.
Yeah, let me spell that out a little bit here. These centers were the only places, basically in the early years at least, were the only place you could go if you had any intellectual aspirations whatsoever. They were the only place that offered education. They were the only place that offered any kind of discussion, anything else like this. So the choice was, you go out and dig in your garden, you know, 365 days a year, or if you're interested in something more than that, you joined a monastery. I mean, those were the choices. So if your mind is awake, you end up being a monk.
Well, that's their attraction, but sometimes people, the wrong people get power and set up things like this, so then they have the only game in town.
Sure.
So that, I'm sure everybody in the monastery, there were some sincere people who went there, but really didn't go along with all this as part of Christianity, but played the game in order to, because they had the love of learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, monasteries did more than pray and copy scripture. They were also centers for developing agricultural methods, because if you've got a huge... I mean, some of these orders developed thousands of monasteries as a part of their order. Huge, I mean, if I could bring you pictures, huge institutions that are still... The buildings are still there today. Still solid as a rock. Most of them built out of rock. I mean, these are very old institutions, and they're still there. Well, if you've got a huge thing like that going, you've got to have order. You've got to have things organized, and you've got to have somebody who knows how to grow things and so forth. So they became centers for agricultural development, all kinds of things. Wally?
There was never any attempt to try to develop or any other schools? And
Eventually there were, yeah. But at this point in time, the idea was the only thing they basically studied was scripture. So if you want to study scripture, you don't need to establish a university. You go to the monastery, because that's where you study scripture. Yeah.
Was there a church in Rome at this time?
Oh, yes.
So there was a formal church?
More or less.
Were these monasteries associated with that, or were they in opposition to that?
No, associated. Yeah. We need to understand here, and let's. I know we're a bunch of Protestants here, but let's be fair here. Christianity, there was no such thing as Catholicism. It was known as Christianity. That was the only form of Christianity there was. Now, I agree that in Armenia they had a different idea, in Ethiopia they had a different idea, in Eastern Mediterranean they had a different idea. So there were variations, but there was no such thing as denominations or anything like that. It was Christianity. We now call it Catholicism because we want to distinguish that from us. But in those days, there was none of that. It was Christianity. Go ahead.
And where did the word Catholic come from? They just called it...
Catholic means common. It means common. That's the church that's for everybody. The word Catholic means common. Yeah.
So monasteries doesn't... they're not really evil things.
Well,
I mean, evil.
We can decide about that. What, in terms of their original purpose...
Some of them, but not all of them.
Yeah. In terms of their original purpose, they were not evil. They grew into, some of them, let's say, grew into evil things. They became dominant. They lorded it over the people in the area, and they said, you got to pay your tithe and your whatever to us, and they would be out, you know, almost harassing people to get money and so forth like this. And the people at the top of the chain in the monasteries sometimes lived very high and like very wealthy people. Even though they claim to be, you know, to have taken a vow of poverty and so forth. So there was corruption in it. Sure, I'm not saying it wasn't corruption, but it wasn't only corruption because some things they did were very good. Jane Ann.
My world history is lacking a page. So would you back up, please?
Okay.
What happened between the previous handout and this handout?
Okay. What happened between the previous handout and this handout? Okay, what happened was this. As the Christianity is moving and people are spreading around all over the place, meanwhile, wars are going on, people have their political aspirations, etc. And in that process, some people in the East started the ascetic form of monasticism. Some people in the West started the monastic form of Christianity. Because, I mean... Where do you go? If you become a Christian, now you're a baptized Christian, what do you do next? Well, if you want to know more, you know, if you have some intellectual desire to do something, what you do next, you go and you become part of a monastery. Yes.
Well, were there churches set up? I think that's
yes, there were churches.
So there were churches and then there were monasteries.
Mm-hmm.
So people could go to the church, but if they wanted real intellectual studying, they go to the monastery. I mean, the communities,
okay.
They all had their churches, little churches?
No, I don't think we would. I mean, I don't claim to be an expert on medieval history or even ancient history. But, you know, there weren't huge churches in every city like there sort of are now in Europe and so forth like that. But there were churches in some places, and... I mean, people met in houses even for that matter. But if you really were interested, you want to know what was going on in the world, you had intellectual aspirations, the place where the intellectual stuff happened was in the monastery. Jane Ann.
Okay, but then if we have this increased intellectual desire, why do we have the Dark Ages?
Well, okay, and that's my next question. What do we mean when we say, I mean, Ariel helped us a little bit here, and I said, you know, people tend to be down on what they're not up on. But the real answer to that is that we developed a two-tier society. If you were smart and you were part of the monastery and you had money and you had control and you had all those kinds of things, then you thought whatever's outside the walls of the monastery, those people don't matter for anything. You know, all they are there for is to support us, basically. And so the Bible and any real knowledge of the Bible was locked up inside of these monasteries. There was a specific, and not even everybody in the monastery had access to them. We're going to get to eventually, probably not today, but we're going to find out that there were tier layers within the monastery. There was some, the intelligentsia, which came to be known as the choir monks, who spent most of their time doing intellectual kind of things, and then there were the lay brothers, and their job was to support the institution. They had to raise the garden and go out and collect money from people and all those other things necessary to support the intelligentsia. So you see how a society, a hierarchy is developing here. And so the people who had access to scriptures and had the opportunity to do some thinking and some studying for themselves were a very, very limited number of people who had access to these libraries, if you will, in these monasteries. Okay? Now, okay, you got another hand?
I still have a problem. You are talking about them as recognize them as the true people of God.
And no, I recognize them as the only
people of God that were available at that point in time. There weren't, you couldn't walk down the street and go to a Methodist church or an Adventist church, or they were it. There was no other.
I know, but Sister White talked about those days as few people here and there, and I think the devil is taking over his God church and making all this mess.
Well, sure. I mean, the devil's not sleeping. He's busy. I'm not arguing with that at all. I'm just trying to give you some kind of a feel for what was actually going on historically. Don.
This was a time in history when the landowners, the kings, the rulers owned the land, and the people worked a bit of land for the king, mm-hmm. with enough to get by on. So there wasn't big commercial endeavors at that time.
And
if I could add to,
sure.
In my early teens, I worked in a monastery. We were putting in a new ceiling in their chapel, mm-hmm. and I was permitted to go down into the inner sanctum of the place, and it's a very ordered life that those ladies live, and it was the first time I saw a bald-headed woman. This yeah. nuns shaved their head,
yeah.
and they were kind, they were gracious, mm-hmm. and they taught the young nuns coming on how to be full-fledged nuns.
Sure, exactly. It's a very ordered kind of environment. I mean, everything from very early in the morning to late at night. If you all remember the movie The Sound of Music, you know, there's not time for you to be running out in the hills and singing songs. I mean, every minute of the day is regimented. Joanne?
Well, if there was no so-called marriage and stuff allowed in these, how did they last so long? Did they recruit then new members from the farms around them? I mean, the people out there had the kids that...
Exactly. There was... The people outside there were, like, totally illiterate.
I know, but then they had to take in their children. Otherwise, this monastery would have died out in one generation, so...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I mean, the kids grew up, and in their younger days, they said, you know, it... Think about the people that this child would see, for example, in his environment. The one who was reasonably well-dressed, the one who was smart, the one who was able to do something, the one who did some traveling around, was the monk or the priest. So now you had to give up family life and a few other things like that, but if you wanted to do anything more than just sit on the farm and grow a garden, that was your hero.
Do the rule books from these monasteries exist today?
Yep.
Yeah. And what happens if there happens to be a kid born in the monastery?
Oh.
That
can't happen. You know that, don't you?
Well, I was wondering.
Ken?
Yeah.
When I was in the academy down here,
yeah.
Charlie Baker used to be a Bible teacher down there or missionary down in Peru. Mm-hmm. And he used to tell the story how he'd get up on his morning walk and he'd walk around a couple blocks there. And on one street was the monastery. On the other side of the alley was the convent. Mm-hmm. And one morning after a big heavy rain, he went there and the wall of the back wall of the church of the convent had fallen down into the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of baby bones ended up piled down in there. And we had a Catholic girl was a student there, and she got up and left the class and never came back. But also we need to make a distinction between celibacy. They take a vow of celibacy. That means they take a vow not to be married because they're married to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The
women are.
They take a vow of chastity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I remember, yes, Don.
Around most of these monasteries, pretty close by, there'll be a big home for children.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and for those... Okay, go ahead.
Weren't some of the monks, they were persecuted also?
Mm-hmm.
And are all monasteries, are they Protestant and Catholic, or are they just Catholic?
Just Catholic, as far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Dennis?
Joanne asked, you know, if any record of these, they still exist. Just a few years ago, I had an opportunity to visit a Benedictine monastery that's just outside of Pear Blossom. And, right. and it's a place that you can go. You can rent a simple room there. You can eat simple meals. Attended Mass there with the class I was with. And I was appalled that the wine that was used in the Mass was white wine.
I see.
I thought that lost all the symbolism. I was.
Well, you've got alcohol in it. It's okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well, but these are things. And I mean, talking about there's still some of you remember recently. In fact, I think I heard just not too long ago, it's come back. There was a group of monks in a monastery in Spain that had the top hit in the. Among the songs that was famous a while back, Gregorian chants or whatever, something like that, and it became very popular for a while. Their music was very popular. These things still exist. Jim,
you remember a gal by the name of Eugenia Nitowski? Isn't that her name?
I don't know.
She was at one time a student of Maxwell's. Went to La Sierra and went to graduated, I think, from Andrews. Then went to Notre Dame. And then became a nun.
Hmm.
Right from this area.
Really? Went that way?
Yeah.
Well, I should tell you, and I'll have to finish with this because we're running out of time. When I was probably in the 7th or 8th grade, a story came around on tape, recorded on tape, somebody interviewing someone called The Nun's Story.
Sister Charlotte.
Was her name?
It's available. You can get it on the internet. Just look up Sister Charlotte. It's on the internet.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, this lady had absolutely incredible story how she escaped from a closed cloister, and the story about how there were the monks and some of them, the priests and so forth, would come there and have intercourse with these cloistered nuns, and then the babies would be killed, and an incredible story. And for me, as a seventh grader, it just blew me away. I couldn't believe that kind of stuff was going on in the world, you know. So, I don't know. Maybe you can look it up and read incredible stories. And those things happen. There's no question about it. Yes.
Sister Huai said that that Paul said about the man of sin and what's the other name to cover? You know, when Paul talking about the second coming, mm-hmm. he said he's not coming before the
man of sin is revealed, yeah. Thessalonians.
I think you are describing history, but I'm worried that you call it Christianity. Or at least you should say the professed Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. If you like. I mean, if it's the only choice there is, well... Yeah, I mean, most of the people in the world at that point in time, even if the Waldenses, for example, were in existence, virtually nobody knew about them. So, I mean, it was the Christianity that was there. I'm not saying it was good, I'm just saying that's what was there. And most people were ignorant, illiterate, they knew nothing. This is all they knew. Joanne.
Well, this might be the scary time in Christianity, where like the line of Jesus at one time, wasn't it down to just one male? Every other male was killed, and the line was very thin. This, we could be talking about another time when Christianity was almost extinguished, the Christianity that Jesus started. So this is just telling us how serious Satan is about extinguishing Christianity.
Yeah.
And right here, we're studying an age where if it hadn't have been for these little groups in the other communities keeping the light alive, this type of thing would have taken over all of Christianity.
Yeah. And remember, there was a time when Martin Luther was a monk. And he responded. I mean, he said, I'm sorry. And you remember what he found is he got down into one of these rooms down there and discovered here's a Bible chained to the wall. And he started reading it for himself because he'd been taught how to read that kind of stuff. He started reading it for himself. I'm sure it was in Latin. And that was the beginning of the story.
And if it hadn't have been for the people on the outside when he did that, then they were there to help him, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had not been in this. So God works things together.
Yeah. Okay, well, we need to stop there. So we'll pick up our story about the monasteries 3 weeks from today. Let me repeat what I said earlier. I will be gone the next 2 weekends. I'm only gone for a week of vacation in between, more or less, but I'll be gone the next 2 weekends. We're going to the Greek islands with my son and his girlfriend. So that's where I will be. I hope you have a good time. You can all go figure out what everybody else is doing on campus while we're busy here in this class. Let's pray. Our kind and loving Father, once again, we thank you for the insights that we can gain by a careful study of the previous history and the history of the Bible and of Christianity. Many of us have not been informed about these issues. Help us to be fair, number one, but most of all, to learn the lessons which you know that are there for us. Help us to be strengthened and encouraged so that we may stand through the worst time of persecution the church has ever seen, which is still ahead of us, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.